Local Food as an Economic Driver is the title of a new analysis by David Abbas of Round River Farm in Finland, Minnesota, and Ryan Pesch from the University of Minnesota Extension. Their work was edited by Marlise Riffle from the Iron Range Partnership for Sustainability, which also commissioned the study. The study looks at the potential impact of local foods in the taconite assistance area, which includes all of Minnesota's Iron Ranges. David Abbas and Marlise Riffle join us now to tell us about it. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Marlise, let's start with you. Tell us how the study came to be.
Well, I was attending the agriculture subcommittee of the Recharge the Range effort, and the discussion came around to, you know, local food, local agriculture, farming, and I asked if anyone had seen David Abbas's 2010 study, and people weren't familiar with it, so I brought it to the group, and we started talking about it, and then we were able to actually bring David Abbas to speak to the group, and that sort of spurred interest, and the IRPS proposed hiring David and Ryan to carry out this study, and the Iron Range Resources and Rehabilitation Department funded it.
And David, you've been farming near Lake Superior in the Finland area for many years, and now you're involved again in a second study of the area. How would you describe the farmland in the area covered by this study?
Well, it's a diversity of land. Our region's blessed with different types of terrains, some really good soils in areas, and a mixed forest. So we have a really good, diverse area to farm in. Some areas lend themselves to larger grain-type production. Other areas lend themselves to smaller gardens or more intensive vegetable production.
Yeah.
That would be the case, say, here in Finland.
So is this land capable of feeding a healthy diet to everybody who lives here?
Yeah, and not only is it capable, we have more land than we need, cleared and open and above average soils. So we're actually on our family farm growing on soils that wouldn't have even been included as viable soils for the study. So we know we can grow a lot of food on small acreage, even on marginal land, if you improve it. And that's part of it. How do we regenerate the area, regenerate the soils, so we can build a viable food system, both in how much we can produce, but also how economically viable it is for young farmers and new farmers and old farmers.
Do you know how much of our local food is grown locally now?
Right now, on the IRRB, it's less than 1% is grown and consumed locally. And so we have a great potential. And historically, it was quite a bit of a farming area. We have a huge market out there, a huge potential to grow our economy.
Tell us some of the things this study revealed about the potential economic impact of local food in the region.
If we were to commit to buying 20% local, that would be a big jump from less than 1%. But let's say that each of us made a commitment to buy 20% local. On the Iron Range, that would generate somewhere between 250 and 700 jobs. And it would keep $51 million that we now spend out of our area for food. It would keep it in our area. If we went all the way to 100% local, we grew and purchased everything here, we're talking 1,450 to 3,500 jobs and $256 million. Now that's kind of an end point. But with just a 20% commitment, we could really generate some, not just growers' jobs, but all of those things that support keeping livestock, keeping chickens, having specialty crops and vegetables in high tunnels. All of those have economic spillover effects that are positive.
Sure, and when you add jobs, then all those people are spending money in local stores.
Right.
That's quite a large impact. David, what are some of the easiest and most appropriate foods that we could grow locally that people might eat to bring that number up to 20%?
Well, I think vegetables is a really good way to start, because the margin to grow vegetables is better for the farmer. And the challenge of getting vegetables fresh and organic to our region is great. That's one of the areas where the farms have been increasing. So We've been eating sweet corn on our farm for the last couple weeks. The pumpkins are already ripe here, which is good because it sounds like a frost is coming soon. Anything you could imagine, minus some of the things you would expect. We can't grow peanuts here, can't grow in any real economically viable way sweet potatoes, but anything from potatoes to chard to sweet corn to beans to dry beans. So our plate would be full.
We are talking with David Abbas and Marlise Riffle. They have released a new publication about local food as an economic driver. I remember being on a local food diet several years ago and having a hard time locating local cheese. So that might have changed. But David, are there still foods like cheese that farmers in our area could make more of or grow more of but aren't?
Yeah, and that's a huge part of it. We are a good dairy area. There's some real money potential with dairy in the future. It's a tough time for dairy farmers. We're having suicide rates across the country because of the price challenges. But that's where that value added goes. Adding it, making it into cheese, making it into yogurt can give us some of that profit margin that we need. So we have a great potential for filling a cheese. I imagined down the road, 5 or 6 farmers in the Finland area, and we'd have our own cheese house, and Finland might be the Swiss cheese or the cheddar cheese place, and another cheese place there in Hibbing, and another place in Virginia, each with a different type of cheese. Each one providing, you know, several families and an infrastructure that would revitalize our rural areas.
David, also, the study talks a lot about what we eat. Tell us about the diets in this publication.
Well, you know, there's two diets. There's the standard American diet, which I call the SAD diet, and we can only eat 83% of that diet because 17% by weight is from elsewhere. We can't grow it. Or the range healthy diet, where we could grow 100%. And, you know, as you can imagine, they are different diets between the SAD diet and the range healthy diet. The new diet has more vegetables. You know, you've heard the story. More fruit, more nuts, or in our case, nuts are challenging, more seeds. And so what you're talking about is a healthier diet. Frankly, you know, if you eating local, which most of our food we eat locally, I gained 30 pounds over 30 years eating local food, dairy being in case in point. So it doesn't mean we'll have a healthy diet, but that's where we're aiming, and that's what our study looked at, is two different types of diets.
You know, diet can be a touchy subject when you start talking to people about what they eat. Marlise, how do you encourage folks to eat more of the foods that we can grow locally?
Well, that's a good question. We're embarking on a fairly major PR campaign about eating local. And I think part of it is introducing people to the notion of seasonal eating. At the farmers market in Virginia, you know, we have people showing up in June asking for sweet corn. So we have to talk about what ripens when here and do some food demonstrations to illustrate some really cool things that you can do with stuff that's ripe at the time. We found a lot of interest in eating local and a lot of curiosity about how to prepare those foods. And we also have some really cool Iron Range traditions. Porchetta and petita and squeaky cheese are Iron Range traditions, and those can be made from local ingredients.
What are some of the other findings, Marlise, that you made in this study?
Well, it turns out there's about 2.1 million acres on the Iron Ranges that are suitable for growing things and pasturing. And the standard American diet would require about 164,000 acres to produce, and the range healthy diet only about 122,000 acres. But because of what's grown in each diet, the standard American diet would require 1,600 farms, and the range healthy diet would require 4,300 farms. So somewhere in between those two is likely where we'll end up. But a lot of people don't look at the Iron Range and imagine that we have enough suitable land, but we do. And we also found some very encouraging numbers for what's called economic spillover. You know, as you mentioned, people who are growing things are paying veterinarians and they're buying the things that they need and buying cars locally and that sort of thing. So every time somebody starts producing food, they spend on other things. And so we actually have some really encouraging numbers for the amount of economic spillover. People can find this report linked to the Iron Range Partnership for Sustainability website. That's irpsmn.org. And there's a photo of the cover of the report right in the middle of the page, and that links people to the report if anybody wants to look it up.
Marlies, what are you going to do with this report? Are you going to take it and move on to something next? Use this for leverage to do something else? What are your plans?
The most immediate thing coming up is that David's going to come to Virginia and join us on September 23rd. That's a Sunday. At 6:30 in the evening at Messiah Lutheran Church, we're having a big gathering, and we're calling it Local Food, Let's Do It. We'll provide sandwiches and beverages. We're inviting everybody who has any interest at all, whether you're a producer or a consumer or a processor or a distributor or an institution who's looking to buy local. We'd like to gather people together to talk about the next steps. The report actually recommends a major PR campaign to promote local food production and consumption, and that's what we're up to right now. Rutabaga Project, which is a local food access project, which IRPS administers with the Arrowhead Economic Opportunity Agency, is going to be taking on the bulk of this initial PR effort.
Okay. Well, it sounds like you have a plan and you're heading at least toward that 20% local, right?
We are.
All right. Well, good luck. And we'll catch up with you later and see what this report leads to next. That's David Abbas and Marlies Riffel. The new study is called Local Food as an Economic Driver, a study of the potential impact of local foods in the taconite assistance area. You can find a copy at the Iron Range Partnership for Sustainability website, and we'll put a link to that on our website at kaxc.org also. You're listening to the Wednesday Morning Show on Northern Community Radio, connecting you to the good things we can grow locally.